Greetings. My name is Zechariah. I need to borrow someone's scribe, your scroll, please, since your high-tech video did not work. I would like to read from you from Luke chapter 1. This is my story told by Luke. Starting in verse 5. In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abia. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God. Luke's words, not mine. Observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty at the temple he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." That's how my story begins. A little background. Israel was not a fun place to live 2,000 years ago. In fact, we were a people who had been oppressed for more than 300 years. Before that, even, the Babylonians took us into captivity. Then the Persians were in control of us. About 300 years before Christ was born, Alexander the Great showed up. And the Greeks controlled our land and taxed us heavily. And then the Romans came. The Romans brought a lot of good things, but it was tough being a Jew under Roman control. Our people were discouraged, oppressed, and where was God? 400 years had gone by since God had spoke to us through one of his prophets. 400 years God was silent. Malachi was the last prophet. And you know the last words Malachi spoke to us? Through God? God spoke to us through Malachi. He said, "Elijah is coming with power. And he will turn the hearts of the parents to the children, and he will turn the hearts of the children to the parents, Elijah is coming. So for 400 years, we have been waiting and looking for Elijah to come and pave the way for our Messiah. Nothing. We pray. We offer sacrifices in the temple. We carry on like good priests should do. And God is silent. I am an ordinary priest, one of 8,000 in Israel. Every priest comes to Jerusalem 2 times a year to serve, 1 week long each time. 300 of us come for 1 week. We live in the temple. We stay in the temple in Jerusalem. We serve there, and then we go back home. Each day, we come together, and we cast lots to see who will be the 56 out of the 300 who will serve that day. It is a privilege to be chosen. It's an honor. No matter what the job is, we cast lots to see who God chooses that day. And on that day, I was chosen as one of the 56, but not just one of the 56. The lots fell to me to have the highest honor of all. It was my job to take a censer of coals that were used in the sacrifice that day, to take those coals into the holy place and to burn incense before Yahweh. Now the temple was divided in many sections. In each section, as you went closer to the inside, you felt the presence of God. It became more and more holiness on the outside, the courtyard of the Gentiles, then the courtyard of the women, then the courtyard of the Israelites, then the courtyard of the priests where the sacrifices were made 2 times a day. Then, going through past the altar into the holy place. I was chosen to go into the holy place with the censer of coals from the sacrifice and offer them to our Lord to burn incense. I walked in the holy place, and on the left, there's the table of showbread. And on the right is the golden lampstand. And in the middle, 3 feet high, is the golden horned altar of incense. Directly behind that was a big, thick curtain, the veil. Beautiful. I could not believe my eyes. I'd never seen it before. Cherubim embroidered in scarlet and purple and blue and gold. I was struck with awe. My job was to burn incense, but also I was the mediator for the people. It was my job to pray for the people. The people were praying in the courts outside. As I prayed for them, as their intercessor, as their mediator before Yahweh in the holy place. So I offered the burnt, the coals and the incense, and the sweet smell rose to heaven. As the prayers of the people, and as I prayed for the people, those prayers rose to the nostrils of Yahweh, and he thought it was a sweet, sweet smell. And I could see the smoke, some of the smoke going through the slit in the curtain. And I knew it was into the Holy of Holies. That place, that mysterious place where the Ark of the Covenant was and where Yahweh had chosen to dwell there on the mercy seat. And I was struck with awe, with fear of the Lord. I thought I knew what fear was. An angel appeared to me. Right there on the right side, right next to the altar of incense. I couldn't avoid him. He was there. He was brilliant. And not only that, it was Gabriel of all angels, the highest archangel. Luke says that I was stirred and terrified. I think, to use your language today, I freaked out. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. For God has heard your prayers. You've been praying for a son all these years. Your wife is barren, but God is going to give you a son. And you will call him John. And you will have great delight and joy in your son. And many people will rejoice in his birth. And he will be great in the sight of the Lord. And he will pave the way. He will prepare the people to receive the Lord." This is the best day of my life. Once in a lifetime, a priest gets to come into the holy place and offer the incense. And on top of that, the archangel of God answered my prayers. What do you think I did? Did I jump up for joy? Did I sing praises aloud to the Lord? Did I fall on my face in humble prayer and just cry because I couldn't believe what was going on? No! I said, "That's impossible. I'm too old. How can this be?" I had hope. I was a priest, for goodness sake. I loved the Lord. I knew his law. I followed his commands. My wife and I were righteous and upright. We had hope. But it had been so long. God had been silent for 400 years in our nation. There was hope. There was hope, but it was buried deep. I had hope, but it was latent. It was barely a spark. God had been silent for me and my wife Elizabeth for all these years. My hope barely existed. I wonder if you are not like me. Are you facing disappointment? Discouragement? Do you feel like God is silent? You've been asking and asking and nothing. And you wonder, where are you, God? Are you listening? Are you even there? And your hope is falling apart. It's dismantling. You're becoming discouraged, maybe even despondent. Maybe you're fighting him, much like the zealots did in my time. They were discouraged and despondent, and they started rebelling against Rome. It was silly. It was like a bee stinging a lion. But you and I often fight against God, don't we? Are you like me? I think you are in many ways. You see, I am a faithful follower of Yahweh. And I know your reputation. You too love the Lord. You are faithful. You pray. You know the word. And you follow the word. And you listen to the Spirit. And yet, all is not as it should be. Some of you are weary in your faith. You're weary in your hope. Maybe you've lost hope altogether. Maybe you're still hanging on just to a smidgen of hope. You know what my problem was? I lost something. I lost the joy. Listen to me. I lost the joyful expectation that God was willing and ready to do the impossible. I knew he was able. My hope never, never deferred from that. I knew God was able. But I doubted if he was ready and willing to do the impossible. And I certainly did not expect it with joy. Sound familiar? You have faith. You have hope. But are you joyfully expectant that God is going to do the impossible in your life? He did it in mine. I was too old. Elizabeth was too old. And God blessed us with a son. And not just any son, he doubly blessed us. Because this son was the Elijah. The Elijah who preached, prepare the way for the Lord. Repent. Be baptized. The Messiah is coming. Get ready. Jesus himself said this about my son. There's never been anyone like John. Not Abraham, not David, not Moses. My son was called great by Yahweh and his Messiah. I'm proud of my son. He looks a little crazy. Crazy diet. I'm proud of my boy. God blessed us. And he used my son, my descendant, to bless the world. I can't help think about two other old people who wanted a child. And they prayed and prayed. Abraham and Sarah prayed and prayed and prayed for a son. And God said, I will give you a son. And through your descendants, they will bless the entire world. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. I did not have enough hope. Gabriel had patience with me, though. But he still showed me who he was. He made me mute. I could not speak from that point for 9 months. All I could do was write on my tablet and make hand signs. 9 months went by. But you know, I needed that 9 months. Those 9 months were very important. I needed the discipline. I needed to think. I needed to meditate. I needed to build my faith and my hope. And the day my son was born, Gabriel said he would bring delight and joy to me. And he did. He said that many people would rejoice at my son's birth. And they did. And they wanted to call him Zachariah Jr. But Gabriel had told me and Elizabeth that, no, his name will be John. The people said, there is no John in your family. What? Who is this John fellow? We were breaking all customs. You always named your child after someone in the family. So when Elizabeth said his name is John, the people came to me and they started making hand motions. What do you want to call him? And I said, his on the tablet, his name is John. And at that moment, God opened my mouth. What do you think I did this time? You think I rejected hope as something that was impossible? Is that what you think I did? I took my son and I held him. I held my son. I held him up to the Lord. And this is what I said. I said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed us. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Salvation from our enemies and from the land of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to Father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, you will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord and prepare the way for him, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet on the path of peace. My people were living in great darkness, lost hope. Where are you today? Is there darkness in your life? Are you discouraged, despondent, wondering if God is ever going to answer your prayers? I want to encourage you, as one who's been there, feed your joyful expectation. May my story remind you that God is the God of the impossible. May you have renewed joyful expectation that our God is ready, willing, and able to do the impossible. When I went into the holy place, I took coals from the altar of sacrifice. And I lit the incense as a sweet, sweet offering of prayer to our Lord. And today, we light the candle of hope. Because just like in my day, the people are living in darkness. And we need the hope of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of Jew and Gentile. Do you need him? Do you need that hope, that joyful expectation of our impossible, miracle-working God? I've asked some elders of your church, some older gentlemen, not as old as me, to come and stand and to pray with you as the elders and shepherds of our people have done for thousands of years. Brother David and Brother Hadayat are ready to receive you and pray for you. Perhaps you need hope restored. Perhaps you need something totally different. Don't miss this opportunity. Perhaps you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And you are living in darkness. The light is shining for you. Follow the light of the world. Would you pray with me? Ah, Yahweh, Father God, thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the impossible. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Thank you for giving me a child when I was childless and my wife was barren. You are the God of the impossible. Forgive us, Lord, when we are impatient. When we doubt you and our faith grows dim because we don't hear from you. Help us to be faithful even in the silence. You silenced me, Father, because I would not listen when you did speak. I pray that you will bring discipline on us if we do not listen to you, so that we will come back to you. And I pray all these things in the blessed name of Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ our Messiah. Amen.